Welcome to the weekly devotional reading from Practical Christianity Foundation. You may subscribe at our website, pcfbooks.com, to receive the weekly devotional reading at your inbox every Sunday morning. Here is this week's devotional reading.
This week's devotional reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 13. This is the word of God. May the Spirit of truth give us wisdom and insight to receive what has been conveyed through His word by His inspiration. Verse 8. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. Following his description of love, the most excellent way, Paul introduces us to love's unparalleled supreme quality. In just a few succinct words, Paul affirms that God's love is eternal. It never declines, fades, or terminates, unlike the gifts of knowledge, discerning revelation, and speaking in other tongues. The cessation or termination of gifts noted in this verse must be viewed in context, lest the message of the entire text is distorted by the conventional imports of the expressions cease or done away. These expressions often bear the connotation that something unwittingly came to an abrupt end, or had fallen short of its intended fulfillment, or had faded into oblivion. An unwise ascription of such implications to the text would unfortunately suggest exactly that. Worse yet, we would be accusing God of being purposeless, aimless, or unreliable in what He does or gives. God forbid that we should dare assess the unsearchable wisdom of God the Almighty. Dare we, vessels of clay, judge our Maker the potter? To be sure, Paul is actually revealing love's unparalleled supreme quality by comparing its eternality to the divinely planned fulfillment of spiritual gifts. Prophecies, tongues, and knowledge will be finally fulfilled and exercised into heavenly perfection. Therefore, they will cease. There is nothing more to be done to what is fulfilled or completed as planned. So, cessation or termination in this case is not an abrupt or unmeant discontinuance, but fulfillment and completion as intended by the giver. But God's love continues on, even as prophecies, tongues, and knowledge come to their respective fulfillment according to God's purposed divine design. God's love is timeless. It is the very attribute of God. Verses 9 and 10. For if we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. In candid truth, Paul reminds us that our capacity and ability to exercise spiritual gifts and our understanding of the mystery of the nature and the function of those gifts are incomplete or imperfect at best. Because the excellence of God's love escapes our comprehension, our response to the operation of the gifts by the Holy Spirit leaves much to be desired. We are flawed and finite. At best, our understanding of the bestowal and the exercise of spiritual gifts is partial. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit continues to administer His gifts while preserving us in His love. The fulfillment of spiritual gifts is substantiated by the coming of the complete or the perfect. We find no clear indication in this text as to who or what the complete or perfect might be. However, the scriptures unequivocally direct our attention to our returning Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the fulfillment of all of our anticipations, hopes, and faith. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect one and the completer of all things, whose coming we long to see that He might satisfy every hopeful anticipation of His children. Until then, we persevere by faith, knowing that when the perfect comes, all deficiencies will be transformed into wholeness. Verses 11 and 12. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. Alluding to human growth and development to illustrate the difference between the incomplete and the complete, and between the temporal and the eternal, Paul says, when he was a child, he spoke, understood, thought, and reasoned as a child, because he was a child. Now, as an adult, he put away childish things because they are of little value in the world of the mature. In other words, his mode of operation was in keeping with his developmental stage. He could not have done otherwise. In view of that, our inability to understand the supremacy of God's love is tantamount to being children in the things of God. We are still growing into adulthood, maturing in Christ under the care of the Holy Spirit. When we become adults in Christ, we will be delivered from earthly imperfections and become fulfilled in Christ's perfection. Our comprehensions, communications, and contemplations are imperfect because we are constrained by our finiteness. At best, we see a blurred image of the truth as if we see through a mirror due to our limitations as humans. However, when we come face to face before the Lord, what we now view dimly will be fully revealed. What we now know partially will be clear and fully known. Our knowledge and understanding will be as complete as we are known by God. Until then, holding ever so tightly to the guiding hands of the Holy Spirit, we will continue to progress from the partial to the complete and from the dim to the clear as we flourish in Christ under the supreme excellence of His love. Verse 13, but now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. So faith, hope, and love remain above and beyond everything else, but love stands supreme because it is eternally perfect and endures forever. Faith and hope will be complete when Christ, the substance of our faith and hope, appears. Then faith and hope shall persist in heaven as fulfilled aspect of Christian anticipation. God's love shall persist as the essence of God's care toward us and as the compelling intrinsic power of worship we offer to our Father. God's love is uncreated and has no beginning or end because it is God's attribute. Faith will be ultimately answered by the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is the substance, the author, and the finisher of faith, hope will be fully satisfied when we behold the glory of our Savior at His glorious appearing. Although the sustaining ministry of faith and hope is more apparent on earth than in heaven, their eternal significance remains just as profound because of the presence of the one who personifies their fulfillment. God's love stands superior to faith and hope in that it continues to nurture all relationships in heaven forever and ever into eternity without end. We no longer live by faith in hope with anticipation. We flourish in the love of our Father in endless bliss. Love is God's power, which makes us one in Him and with Him. Every good and perfect gift is from above, from God our gracious Father. Every spiritual gift is therefore good, because all gifts are given by Him. Love is even more so, because it is God's love. However, because we are easily mesmerized by the impressive manifestation of spiritual gifts, we celebrate the good at the expense of the best. Betrayed by our own flawed perception of spiritual gifts, we wink at God's love and aimlessly wander chasing after the spectacular in a life of spiritual drudgery with no meaning or significance. Beguiled by our own passing excitement toward spiritual gifts, we disregard the transforming power of God's love and vainly labor to do God's work in our own way. Blinded by our own flawed sentiments toward the impressive manifestation of spiritual gifts, we fail to experience the uniting power of God's love and live in disfellowship, victimized by feelings of loneliness and unworthiness. thus betrayed, beguiled, and blinded. We, the beloved of God, live as if we are abandoned, left out, or unworthy, as if we have been denied what has already been given by God our Father through Jesus Christ our Savior. It should not be that way. Jesus affirmed in his prayer to his Father that we are one with him, even as Father and Son are one. God's love abounded toward us even while we were yet sinners. Spiritual gifts are good. They are the means by which God engages the talent, skills, and other amazing capabilities he has given to us for his purpose. But God instills his love in us because he expresses himself through his love. When God's love is actively alive in us, we become unlike ourselves and behave as God's faithful servants, fully available to his will and purpose. When God's love prevails in our hearts and becomes the moving force of our life, our natural inclinations and the tendencies of our sin nature will be less appealing to us. Thus, being motivated and empowered by the most excellent way, we begin to recognize the excellence of our calling to stand in the gap and serve as God's conduits for proclaiming his good news and for sharing his blessings. We deny ourselves so that we might be empty of ourselves and be available. When God's love is the prevailing power in our hearts, the attributes of our loving Father transform our attitude toward God and the world around us. We begin to rejoice in serving others in the name of Christ and exalt our Father in worship. Standing assured in the security of God's love, we rise to the occasion of our calling because we are set free from the bondage of our ungodly inclinations. God's love will make us selfless, enabling us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In God's love, we experience the true essence of our redemption and understand the supreme significance of our calling in His service. Moved by His Spirit who causes us to exclaim, Abba, Father, we rejoice in the flow of God's love through us, breaking into a beautiful chorus of surrender and worship.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave His Son to end. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from His sin. Oh, love of God, and pure, how measureless and strong it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we within the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every storm on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. stretched from sky.